Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey gang, thanks for checking back to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast, where we talk about random stuff going on in Minnesota. And one of the biggest things that's going on in the off-road world in Minnesota right now is it snowed. Now this is probably not a surprise to anybody listening from Minnesota that snowed out, but this is one of the earliest snows I can remember that's sticking around for more than 24 hours. I've been a Minnesotan my whole entire life, never had an address outside of the state. I know that's my problem, not anybody else's, but I guess I'm a lifelong Minnesotan and until I make a change on that. But I always complain about the first snow. It drives me absolutely nuts because I'm the one who prepared for the most part. I have new tires in my vehicle. So this is one of the big things of my PSA for everybody is check your tires. Check the tire pressure, check your tread if you don't already. It's my brother and I, we always have this big joke that about tires anyhow. We're excited to buy new tires because we always make a joke. We say, everybody's staring at my tires. We always make that joke because it's fun having new tires because it drives totally different. It feels better. It's quieter ride. For your vehicle when you're driving down a highway, but this time of year it's great having new tires and newer tires because you can get someplace. And one thing my dad always said too about four-wheel drive, I always wanted a four-wheel drive and I had a car. He goes, well, you have four wheels to go, but we only have four wheels to stop. So remember, you gotta take time and slow down ahead of time. So what I'm getting at too is when the first snow, you always have people who don't know how to drive in the snow. So I did my part and took my 16-year-old out and in the vehicle he's currently driving is my big pickup. So he got to drive my vehicle through some snow and experience semi-off-roading, I guess snow wheeling a little bit before they plowed everything. But I took him out and just go around the block a little bit and talked about how to prepare to go slower. When you come up to a stop sign, give yourself a little more distance. And I always do too is I do a little brake check. To see kind of where the iciness is and the kind of level of traction you might have or may not have. So I do a little brake check and a little acceleration test when I'm leaving my neighborhood just because I want to see what's it really feel like, how much is it affecting, what's going on. And I kind of suggest that he do the same deal because that way if you can actually pull out and drive or you shouldn't pull out and drive. So I kind of coached him up on how to do all that stuff and how it's, the icing conditions. They don't teach you that, I don't think, as much. You can't, I guess, in driver's ed. If it's not snowing, it's middle of summertime, you don't have a chance to try that out. So we kind of did, I did my part, kind of go around the block and worked on that piece and stuff. So another thing I did too is I turned the heat on in my heated garage. I know not everybody gets to have one of those, but that was my biggest thing about this house that had a heated garage. So October 20th, I think it was, I had to clear out my bikes out of my garage and put in my storage shed, then get my snowblower out of the storage shed. This part I was excited about because last winter on the was one of the very first Ken Mitch fix it type of things. I was able to kind of, I think I rebuilt the carb a little bit. I did some things with the carb. I think I put a new one in. Yeah, put a new carb in, took all the gas out, put a new spark plug in, did a couple other things, and put a new muffler on. That was really loud. So I put a new muffler on, new gasket on, did all that work, and then it didn't snow the rest of the winter. So it just sat there with all this potential to actually snowball the driveway. My snowblower wasn't running right for years, and I kind of came to the conclusion I probably had bad gas in it, some old gas. It needed an oil change, so I did all that too. It needed a new carb, so I just changed everything but the cylinder, I guess you could say, that really matters to what's going on in the engine. In these small gas engines, it's an 8-horsepower motor, and I made the joke that it's pushing 10.8 horsepower now, but don't tell insurance company, because it's running like a top. It's running better than it ever has. I've had it for better part of 15 years, and it's probably already 10, 12 years old when I got it. I got some guys selling it side of the road. I was out for a walk one day, and I bought that and the lawnmower from him on the same day because he was moving to Detroit and to an apartment. So he goes, yeah, I don't need this stuff anymore. And he was a mechanic, so I knew he took care of the stuff. So since then, I changed the oil in each one time. I know that's bad, but I've learned this year how to do that, and now I'm in the habit of doing those things and taking better care of my small gas engines. But Yeah, so I got the snowblower out and ran like a top, and I was pretty excited about that piece. So, kind of got winter prepared, for lack of better term, lack of a better term. And so my vehicles and my tires, one of the things that just suggesting that you guys take a look at and take a long look at those tires, see if it's time for you to go. Because what drives me nuts is I get behind a car or a vehicle that has bad tires and they're all over the road. They can't accelerate. They can't get up the hill. I live on a hill. In Bloomington here, and there's no way to get to my house without getting up this hill, and you really can't get up it unless you have good tires or all-wheel drive vehicle. So that's kind of a bummer, I guess, is being on top of a hill. But every time it rains or snows or icy rain, there's cars and minivans sitting at the bottom of the hill that can't get up the hill, just sitting there. It's kind of fun to drive around them, but I feel bad. But they should probably get better tires and maybe think about getting all-wheel drive if they live in this neighborhood. So, but yeah, that's kind of my PSA, I guess, to you guys is check those things out and on your own vehicle, make sure you're ready to go for the long haul winter that looks like we're having. Right now it's 36 degrees. Didn't melt much today. It doesn't look like it's gonna get above 40 till for the next week and a half. So this snow is gonna stick around for a bit. Makes it great for going deer hunting because you can actually see the deer a little bit better, and you can see a little earlier in the morning because of the white kind of reflects a little better than green or brown. So that's kind of fun for that reason. Last weekend I did do a little bit of off-roading in my pickup. I was hunting with my boys. It was the preseason, I guess, youth hunt they have. My little guy took all of 20 minutes to get his deer and just came out in the right spot. He saw it and he took it. So it was a great little hunt. His first ever. We were excited about that. My older boy passed on about, oh, 16 to 20 opportunities. Saw the big buck and didn't have a clear shot that he felt comfortable with, but he got to see it and he's kicking himself for not acting a little quicker there on that one. But during that time, it was what day did it snow up there? Friday? Saturday? Saturday morning, I think it was. Oh, it was just miserable where it was snowing, icy rain, and stuff. And he was on that deer stand and he couldn't wait to get off because it was just wet. When the water and snow is wet and the wind is blowing, it's cold out, you get cold real fast. I think my high school biology teacher, we talked about it, 25 times faster you lose your temperature in your body if you're wet. So he wasn't lasting too long in the deer stand. But to get out there that morning, we had to drive through some pretty dirt roads, but they were pretty wet and sloppy. So my truck got a good coat of mud on it and dirt and stuff, and couldn't wait to get home and wash it. And I think what I'm gonna try out, I don't know if you got anybody on the who listens tried this out before, but one of those foaming washes, I think I'm gonna try that out a little bit. And I also Googled how to clean an engine, and because my Jeep is just full of mud, and I kind of Googled a couple different things. So go ahead and respond on social media if you guys have done either of those things, the foaming wash, how that might work for you, or the engine type of foaming wash or engine wash. I watched a couple of different things, kind of I'm 50-50 on if I want to do that or not. But I was wondering what kind of luck you guys had, just kind of cleaning that engine bay a little bit, especially in a Jeep because it's a hot mess in there from the Gilbert trip, to say the least. But yeah, that's kind of little updates on off-roading world. This weekend, I might try to go up. We'll see what my wife has to say about this, but might try to go up to Nemidji or up in that neck of the woods just to get out and do something. It'll probably be sloppy up there, so no need to wash anything, I guess, now until after that's done. But probably something fun to do, just a few inches of snow. I think we had 9 inches of snow in the cities that day. I think I just heard on the radio today. So not too deep of snow, and that might be a fun for a little snowmobiling trip. So if you guys know any place, let me know. So yeah, today we have a little recap. We have a guy coming back, Brent, talking about his Toys for Tots drive. We're gonna kind of recap that a little bit and kind of go from there. So here's Brent. Hello, Brent. Can you
There
hear
we
me?
go. I think I got you.
Well, whatever I learned from podcasting is have a plan B or a plan C, and so we are currently on plan B.
Well, you sure it's not C?
Well, this is for the people out there listening right now. We're jumping right into the podcast. We could not get my Zoom to link up with Brent,
And so I just said, well, let's just go directly to the app I use to record. And so we're already up and we're recording right now already, Brent. So we're up and running.
All right.
Jumping right into
it. Keep her clean. Keep her clean.
Yeah, usually I have a couple minutes to kind of explain, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to hit record in a second. But we're up and running right away. So we're kind of into this with no prep almost, but we're here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Well, so I got Brent on here. He was on a couple episodes ago talking about the Toys for Tots drive that they put on down south. And he offered to come back, and he just texted me and said, hey, you want to recap? I'm like, yes, I do. So tell us about what happened and kind of the outcome of your Toys for Tots drive.
Oh, well, first of all, we raised a lot of toys. Our trailer was probably three quarters away full. The weekend started out with Friday night. People were showing up camping and having fires and cooking on the grill and unloading and getting ready to go wheeling on the next day. And we had about 40 people that checked in on Friday night. And the rest of the weekend, we ended up doing 177 rigs that were teched in to participate in our event. Wow. Which to me was a very wonderful turnout.
Wow. How's that compared to years past? I mean, is that like better than before or about the same?
That's a really good year for us. You know, say the last couple of years might not quite have been that much. But this year I couldn't ask for any better. The only thing I could ask for was maybe a little warmer weather, but Saturday wasn't bad. Everybody had a lot of fun in the woods. We cooked some food there. They had food offered up and just you name it. Everybody had fun. We had a huge bonfire on Saturday night that started out with about a 12 to 15 foot big pile of logs, and everybody had some heat and the rain came for just a little bit.
So I always tell my people who are on this podcast, and Brent knows this, I like to talk in details and in story form because that helps keep the conversation alive. What is your preferred way to start a bonfire? What's your preferred? Do you TP? What's your preferred way, do you think, to start a bonfire or a campfire?
Well, we have a guy in our club that works for a brush company.
Yeah.
So he actually got to bring a couple big loads out and use the clam and put it all on a nice big huge pile. And I do believe that they lit it with, I think, a couple napkins and a cardboard box.
Okay.
Because it was really, really dry.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if I'm having a little campfire, it's probably some lighter fluid and maybe a little bit of cardboard, you know, whatever you got around.
Yeah. And then, I'm going to talk in detail because that's how I like to do podcasts. This past weekend, I did a little, before I get on my guest, I have a little talk where I talk, and I was talking about how I took my boys deer hunting. But it's a youth hunt, so I can't really deer hunt during the youth hunt because I'm not youth anymore.
Right.
So what I did is I sat the campfire at our hunting land. And so, but I use I forget what it's called, but they're like first starting campfire or, you know, starting fires in your fireplace. And I wasn't going to have a huge fire. If I was going to have a huge fire, I would have done more stuff. But I was going to have just me running a fire by myself and just hanging out, talking to my brothers on the phone while my kids are out hunting because I can't do anything else. So I just started a small fire, but I was just using these little briquette things, I don't know what they're called. And our joke in our family is teepeeing it. We teepee all the logs and these little sticks to get started. And I did that and threw the log on. My favorite thing after it gets going is to put on what we call entertainment log. It basically is just a log that, you know, has holes in it so you can just see fire from different angles. But so I did that the second night because, like I said, this was a very small fire I was trying to have. I just wanted to keep warm. But I started that. And when I use, I don't know if you guys have a torch in your shop like everybody should, but I talked about during my tool episode, it was little propane canisters that you might use for a buddy heater or for a torch. So I just use that and click it start and I hold it open for 10, 15 seconds, get it nice and hot. And she fires up with those little briquette things and gets going. Yep. But if you're having a small fire, that's fine. But if you got, I don't know if you guys have ever lit up a pallet. But boy, those things like to go. So we got some pallet.
We kind of discourage the pallets out at the woods where we do our camping and at our events for the fact that all the nails. You know, people want to burn the wood, but then no one wants to clean up the nails. So we kind of frown upon pallets out there, but it does happen. You know, people bring stuff and kind of out of your control sometimes.
Well, I usually cut up the pallets, and that's what we have. Part of what we have out in our hunting lab is we have cut up pallets that the nails are just not there anymore because we took the nails out. We just cut them up, and then we have that. But those burn up pretty good. But I was actually just using some twigs and got it going. But I always wonder how people get theirs going. And there's actually, I don't know if my listeners or yourself, if you have ever found this You Betcha guy on YouTube, but he's hilarious. And he has got another comedian named Charlie. They're actually real-life comedians. And they have a thing of how to start a campfire. And these two guys are going back and forth how to start a campfire. And neither of them are right because they're both doing it wrong. So it's on the You Betcha channel. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, he's a big fan of Busch Light. It's hilarious. These guys are both, they don't have real jobs anymore. They just post YouTube videos on the stupid stuff they do with campfires and hunting. They're rather hilarious. But back to your event, I got off on a tangent because campfires are always great. But it sounds like you guys didn't have a small campfire. Was this one of those very large campfires you had going on? How big was it?
Oh yeah, it was very, very large. And like I said, the rain came for a while, so like while you were standing with your back towards the fire, the front of you is now getting wet. So then all you had to do is turn around, and rotate, and the fire was hot enough. You kind of dried out, and by the time your other side got wet, you just kept turning and. Yeah. It got to be a little joke. We kept telling people to flip. But everybody had a great time. I mean, we got a hill down there called Chuck Norris, and a few of the buggies that came down, I know they were up there playing around. And I still don't think anybody's crested the top. They get to the very upper part where the ledge is, and I think that's where everybody stops. But, you know, We had buggies, we had street vehicles, you know, we had pretty little Wranglers that were down there. We had some Rubicons, you know, that they're a nice rig, you know. I mean, so they got to come down, and I can't say whether they got any scratches or not. There were some new people this year, the people from the Ladies Rock Off-Road Club. They came down for the first time this year, so I hope they had a wonderful time. We did have some representatives from the Minnesota Gophers come over, and last year they brought a carload full of toys for us. This year they brought us a very nice check. So I was very honored to get that check.
A check takes up less room in the vehicle, I guess.
Yep. You know, and there's two ways to look at that, because everybody's got their idea of a toy. You know, some people are thinking the little teeny kids. Some people, you know, are thinking toddlers, maybe, you know, preteens or whatever. But I think a lot of times people forget about, like, the teenagers.
Okay.
And this money here, you know, we can turn up this money into the Toys for Tots organization, and they will know what age groups that they need to go shopping for what they don't have, or, you know. Mm-hmm. So cash is always good. Everybody likes cash.
Cash is king, as they say. Cash is king. So that's a good note. So one question I have for you, why we have listeners to get out their pens and papers, if they haven't had a chance to do this yet, where can they send checks, and what's the address? And I'm giving people plenty of time to grab a pen for themselves and a piece of paper. Who do they make the checks out to, and where can they send that to right now?
Well, if you are interested in doing that, you could send it to the Rochester Rough Riders, or we have a mailing address is all we have. We don't have a physical street address.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be on our website, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, we can always send stuff to 4x4 Unlimited. Jim, our secretary of the club, or not our secretary, our treasurer of the club, he's usually around, so he can always take a phone call sometimes, or stuff can get sent there, and then it can get taken to the correct place where it's supposed to go, to the Toys for Tots organization.
So we're going to refer back to the website on that one. Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay, good.
And to top that off, you wouldn't only have to send it to our organization or down here. Throughout the winter, in the next month or so, people are going to be starting to put out these Toys for Tot bins. I know mm-hmm. Fleet Farm does it. I know Walmart down here does it. And they kind of do a small little, like a toy drive thing where people can come to these stores and drop off their toys. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think if you just got on the Toys for Tots website page, they might be able to direct people in a better direction than what I can.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I just want to make sure we got that, did our PSA on that one, make sure people had a chance to donate where they could and when they could. So, but I stopped you there for a second. So now that you're back to the teenagers, you were talking about how the teenagers might be unforgotten, but this is a great way. A check is a great way to kind of help those people out. Is that right?
That is right. You know, and I mean, we got so many toys. I mean, we got everything from dolls to Furbies. We got a couple bicycles this year, and it's just wonderful because we hit such a various age, and it's not always just about a boy or a girl, you know. There's so many, let's call it, you know, sex, gender, or whatever toys that we get that can go both ways, you know. I mean, the radio control cars that we got, I know many people, they'll come up and say, well, we had to buy this because this is what we do. So they're bringing in these remote control four-wheel drive trucks, you know, and all this stuff. So that's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I don't know if I ever talked about it, but my son and I used to do remote control car racing. RC car racing, there's a thing up in the cities, a little place on Friday nights, and we'd start at like 5 o'clock at night, 5:30, and then we'd go till almost 1 in the morning. And it caused me to have to buy... Well, he bought his own. I bought my own. And it was a stick on a stock class with these Traxxas Slash. And it was pretty fun. Almost everybody did that class because you had to run stock. And little note on that, little update, or not update, little tech tip. The right control arm or the C clamp, I forget what where the axle kind of hooks on these, if you guys know what I'm talking about, the right one would break all the time because you'd land taking a left turn. So you'd land on the front right, it'd break all the time. You could finish the race, you know, if it was one lap left, you just keep going. You just push that front wheel. And if you've ever watched like the pros do it, they do this too. Like, hey, it's one lap left. Just gut it out and just gun it. And that we'd finish races with on three wheels all the time. And I figured out that because it was a weak spot on the top, was always weak. It was like half as much plastic on the top. Well, what I did is I flipped over a left side and moved it to the right side, drilled the hole, and I got it figured out where I could have the double the amount of plastic on this top end of this thing so it would never break. Right. So I figured out how to flip the opposite side over because that's all I had one night was the opposite side. Figured it out, drilled it on, got it in there, and I never broke another one again. That was my secret.
So with doing that then, does that put you in the modified class then, being as you made a modification?
I was using stock parts.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, it's just like your wheelers. It's the same way. If you can take this and make it work somewhere else, you know, that's only a bonus.
Well, you could buy, which I won't say I did this, but I did. You could buy metal parts, but I was running illegal for a while, and like I felt bad. So then I went back to the plastics, and I kept on breaking it. So then I just figured, well, I'm going to take this and flip it. So I figured out how to stay legal in a stock running class. We weren't racing for money. It was just all for fun. Yeah, I how to stay legal. But I was like, nobody else has thought about this. Am I the only one who ever figured out how to run it upside down and backwards? But the real secret of running that type of racing is to change the bearings like every month because the bearings are so, you know, they get dust in them and all the other stuff. The bearings were the secret. And I was watching this one kid who was always winning. He was like a 22-year-old kid. And I'm like, wait, what's that guy doing? He was changing out bearings mid-race. And that's how he won. Just that little bit of resistance that are in those bearings. If they got a little dust or the carpet fibers in there too much, it'd slow you down. The other secret is racing a lot because then you knew how to race. And I'd watch the guy who ran the track. He was unbelievable. He's like a national champion and stuff. And they'd have these the four-wheel drive class, which is a brushless motor, four-wheel drive vehicle, and he could just manipulate the car in the air with the throttle. He could do the angle of the car and everything, kind of like motocross guys do. And it was amazing. I know you guys are talking about toys for little kids, you know, running around the house, but those things were unbelievably fast. They could take off 0 to 60, I mean, 60 miles an hour and slow down and turn again. And, you know, 60 foot track, 60 foot straightaway.
That's toys for big kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Those are a few hundred to a few thousand bucks, you know, and we did that for a while. I had a great time with it. But the most fun I had was in my own house. I bought this four-wheel drive. I forget the brand name of it. I think it was a couple hundred bucks. It was a four-wheel drive vehicle. And I made out of Legos, I would make a four-wheel drive kind of rock crawl track. I had so much fun with that little thing. But then I had to upgrade it. I bought a LiPo battery for it. I had all these upgrades to it. I ended up selling everything when we moved because I just didn't want to. It was just taking up all my storage space. But I'm getting off on a tangent. But they're very fun for adults too.
Yep.
Well, there's a Jeep Wrangler version too. If you guys really want to get into it, there's some Jeep Wrangler ones out there. But the Rock Crawler one I had, it was the most fun because you could be going super slow and have a great time and just have random stuff. Like I had weights as my strength training weights. I had them as, you know, kind of my obstacles, and I made a whole track out of it. My Wii board. If you guys don't know, Wii board is it's a exercise thing.
Yep.
For Nintendo Wii. And I had it set up. I knew the exact angle it could get up and still make it up. It's pretty extreme. I had this thing down packed. It was so fun. So I'm sure some kid's going to enjoy his car, but this 40 plus year old adult, you know, kid was having a great time with these toys for a while too.
Well, speaking of having a great time, there's a story that I know you're probably going to enjoy this. Saturday night while we were having this rather huge bonfire, a few of my buddies had this idea they were going to mess with one of their buddies. So they went over to his Cherokee and they took his hood off from his Cherokee. And they replaced it with another hood from a different Cherokee. But the new one had this great big huge mural painted on it, and it was of a fairy. And I guess he had walked by at one time, so what are you guys doing to my truck? And they're like, nothing. And he's like, all right. And so he kept on going. Well, then they switched these hoods out, and he didn't realize it till he woke up the next morning when he went over to his Jeep and went, huh. so you know, all sorts of shenanigans go on out there, you know. It was good times had by all, and just it's stories like that, you know. And I personally didn't even make it to the woods this year. I brought my Jeep on my trailer. It sat behind the club trailer that we work out of, and I just was in the trailer pretty much most of the time, besides at night when it was dark, you know. Then I was out whooping up with everybody else. But I just kind of being the chairperson of the event, I felt like I need to be here. I need to make sure that this is running smooth. And there was a little down part that everybody from our club that comes wheeling on that day is required to work like 2 hours. And don't get me wrong, everybody that was there did their time, but it was just, we had a lack of help to fill all the hours of all the days. So a couple of us took it upon ourselves, me and the co-chair. And, you know, we just did what we had to do. And there was a couple times I said, you know what, I'm not even getting mine off the trailer. You just go have fun. And so Jason would go down, you know, he's got a Cherokee and he's got a side-by-side. And so it was just a wonderful time. And
well, you took one for the team then. You kind of helped out.
I kind of did. That's kind of the way I am. It's just like, you know, I want to make sure that this thing runs smoothly. And we had such a, like I said, a tremendous turnout with 177 tech-ins, you know. And that's not just all Jeeps and trucks. There was a lot of side-by-sides that came down. People on four-wheelers. But it's all about the toys right now. It's all about this Toys for Tots kids, you know. That's what it was about. You know, it wasn't about what you drove. It's just that you like to go out wheeling and you're all welcome. And that was great
I always make the joke that I golfed par again this year. because I didn't go golfing at all. I didn't have any bogeys at all or
there you
three
go.
Overs. So you never got stuck this year. You made it up every hill you tried.
Well, like I said, you know, I had it sitting on the trailer, and don't get me wrong, a couple times they were like, take your Jeep out and go for a ride. And I'm like, yeah, but if I do that, then I'm going to have to wash it. And I wasn't committed to having to wash it. So, you know, it's kind of a Sally excuse, but, you know, that's kind of why I didn't take it off. And
you didn't break any parts either.
I didn't break anything. It's ready to be put away for winter right now, you know. So I was all good with it. You know, I was just happy being the chair of the event and making sure that everyone else had a great time.
Yeah, and you collected a lot of toys, it sounds like, and that was a big deal. And as we said in our first time we talked a couple episodes ago, you were saying how some of the other places might not be out as much, other organizations might not be out as much, and so I'm glad you guys had a great turnout, and it sounds like. And how about food? I mean, what's your favorite camping food?
Well,
events like this,
you know, burgers and steaks and everything's always good, but like, we have one of our club members who hooks up with a guy from Wausau Homes, and for the last 2 years, they've been smoking pigs for us. This year, I think a year ago, they did a full pig, and this year, they just bought like 14 butts or whatever, and they smoked them all up, and they served a couple sandwiches, came with pork and beans, and oh, the pork and beans are to die for. And a bag of chips and some homemade coleslaw that a local restaurant in Byron donated, Frankenstein's, donated some coleslaw. And so, you know, for a few bucks, you got a tremendous meal. And everybody that I know, and I personally ate it, was very happy with the food turnout. And the best thing about all that is, after everybody's bellies got full, they sold all their food. They got their money back out of what they had invested in it. And those guys turned around and donated $364 to the Toys for Tots from their proceeds. They donated all their proceeds, which was, in my eyes, very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, they're like, awesome, well, we made good money, so we're going to turn it over. And then there's also another guy in the club that this year, we always sell T-shirts and stuff, but this year he has a CNC machine, and he made these, like, portable fire pits that are they're able to break down, you know, and they're put together with some pins. And we did a raffle on them. We had two of them. One was a Harley Davidson theme, and one was called We the People, which had a Statue of Liberty on each end of it. And we raffled those off for $5 a ticket, and we ended up selling $280 worth of tickets. And two people walked away with a very nice fireplace. One guy had already left when we drew his number. He was already gone. I said, well, you might want to turn around and come back and get your fire pit. And he sure did.
it reminds me of another time when I had on the guys for the Crawl for the Cure, and they talked about how one of their members had passed, and they had all his neighbors showed up, and one of the neighbors won the fire pit. And they kept on, you know, they kept on giving it back and say, raffle it off again.
Yep, raffle it off again. Yep.
They kept on doing it, and they ended up selling, you know, or it wasn't a raffle. It was an auction, kind of like auction bidding. Yep. And they you know, did it four or five times. And you guys got to listen and go back to that Crawl for Cure episode. That was a great one. That was the last one I did before the shutdown happened. I think that was
okay.
Down my basement with a couple, Jeff and I'm forgetting the other guy's name right now, but I see him all the time on Facebook. He's going to be mad at me because I don't remember his name now.
Was it Jeff Wynn?
No, Jeff Ward. And I can picture the guy. I want to say his name is Dan, but I'm probably wrong. But anyhow.
Well, you meet so many in the sport, it's hard to remember them all.
Yeah. Oh, meet so many people in the off-road community, it's great. But so what I'm getting at is it's so fun to hear about when people get real generous when it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
You know? So it's great to hear that you guys had such a great turnout, and the fire pits are, we have one at our land, and it's a great one with, you know, off, not off, it's not off-roading stuff. It's more outdoorsy stuff that my mom picked up and gave to us for the cause. And I think she won it during another off-road, another event, fundraiser event for deer hunters. So she's always donated to those deals too. So
it's always awesome when people take their time and their own money and they donate, you know, because like these fire pits.
And their talents too. Yeah, you know, talents too. If you're able to put something like that together and you know how to build it and you're putting it together for a good cause, that's awesome.
Yep. And then so with these, the raffle that we did on the fire pits, half of that money went to the Toys for Tots organization. And I'm just going to throw a quick shout out before we do run out of time tonight that there is a veterans ride at Frontenac Farms this upcoming weekend. The other $140 is being donated to the veterans ride.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
So, you know, I mean, everybody that's in our sport, I think are very nice and kind people. You know, yeah. we raised a little over $3,000 in cash donations, plus all the toys that the people brought. And there was three or four guys that I shook their hand myself because they came up and they didn't have a toy. And I said, well, it's $25, $30 minimum. And they handed me a $100 bill and said, keep it, you know? And so then I would stop and say, I thank you. And the kids, thank you. You know, it's the generosity of the people in our sport is probably why I kept mine on the trailer and was very, very honored to be the chair.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, it's great what you do. So
T-shirts. I forgot to tell you about the T-shirts. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, but do it. Yeah, tell me about the T-shirts.
This year we had two different T-shirts made up for our event. Normally we do one Toys for Tots shirt, and that's pretty much it. But this year we kind of did two for the fact that this pandemic, the COVID going on, we wanted to poke fun at it just a little bit. So on the long sleeve shirt, it says Toys for Tots on the front, and it's the train logo. And then it's kind of got our Rough Rider badge down below. But on the back, it's got Santa and his reindeer flying through the sky, and they all have like a doomsday mask on, like they're flying into Chernobyl or something, you know? So that was pretty funny. And some people liked it. Some people thought it wasn't very oriented. But, I mean, I bought one. I think it's great. And the other one is Santa on the back. It's got our Rough Rider logo on the front. And it's got Santa on the back, but he has a blue disposable COVID mask on. So,
all doing our part.
And we sold 101 T-shirts this year, which I just thought was pretty awesome. And we have 14 left, and we have a meeting on Friday night, and I'm pretty sure them other 14 are going to be gone. So, but yeah, it was just fun using this event to kind of poke at what's going on, you know. Everybody got a good
well, you know,
it, so
we all talk about the Halloween storm of whatever 1991, whatever it was. I think 30 years from now, people are gonna be talking about just 2020 in general.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So we're all gonna have a chance to say what our memories of this crazy year. But I'm glad you did your part for the Toys for Tots, and I thank you. And I got to send you guys a check. I got to figure that out and get on the website and figure that out and send you guys some stuff. So I want to do that yet. And I want to send it to you guys because it's a 4x4 organization. They want to do that. And so you guys get a little bit more credit, I guess you could say.
Yep. Well,
to go through you guys.
If worst comes to worst, you can always ship it to my house and I'll definitely make sure I get it there for you. Because, you know, we talked to a few guys when we were up to Rock Rash a couple weekends ago, and we said, oh, are you coming down for toys? And some said, no, no, no. But you know what? We got some of those buggy bouncers that came down this weekend, and I hope that they had a great time because I know they come from a long ways, and I sure hope that they had a great time. I mean, we had people from all over the tri-state area that came over, and we had a guy from BSF trucking, tow truck came down, and he was pulling people out left and right, and so when people are broke and you're coming out with a tow truck, that means they were playing hard. So,
well, it's, when you break, it's time for an upgrade.
And, yes.
That's what I always look at. Like say, it's always time for an upgrade.
I'll tell you a real quick one. There was three kids that came to the trailer and they wanted to check in. believe they it wasn't it might have been like it wasn't an excursion. It might have been like a smaller, like an explorer or something. But they wanted to know where they could go. And I said, well, you can go anywhere in the woods. And they're like, well, do you have a map? I do. And so I showed them the map and they're like, well, our friend said we should stay up here, that we shouldn't go anywhere else. And I was like, well, you guys can go wherever you want. And they're like, well, okay. Well, their friend had to go, one of their friends had to go home and fix their toe point. So they decided they were going to go off venture to the woods. About an hour later, they came back and the left rear window was smashed out of it. The left rear quarter panel was all smashed up. The gas tank was hanging on the ground and the bumper was tore off. They had a good time.
Yeah, they have a good time if it gets to be like
They were loving it. They were just like, we're going to get another one of these, you know? So that's just
that.
cool.
Awesome. Well, Brent, I think I'm going to shut her down here. I
Yep.
got some things that go on in my own world, but thanks for being on. It's been great to having you.
Hey,
I
thank you
love
for
to hear
having
the
me.
passion that you have. I want to know about future events you have so I can kind of talk about it again here.
Okay.
And I want to get down there and meet you in person. The bummer about this is I used to be able to have people come to my house and meet them in person. And I only had one remote before this all happened. And now they're almost all remotes.
Yep. Well,
And
no, I would like that too. I really would.
yeah, sometime soon we're all healthy again. We'll get out there and get together again. Hopefully next year we're doing this live. So, but thanks for being on, Brent, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you much.
Bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
Hey gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.